Who has their Bibles? You got your Bibles? I hope you have your Bibles, because I got some verses for you guys. We are going to be, I felt led of the Lord over the next several weeks to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. How many of you love the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he deserves more than that, but yeah, we'll go with that. Yep, we love the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the person. Sorry, I just needed to take a drink of coffee. I'm like parched now. If I start babbling, usually when I'm off track, it's because I've had too much coffee. So, and I was a wonderful husband, and I woke up and I made my wife some breakfast in bed, and now I'm tired. So I've had more coffee than usual. All right. But we are going to be talking about the person of the Holy Spirit over the next several weeks. But I wanted to start today, because before we get into that, I wanted to talk today about the ascension of Jesus. And we were going to lunch last week, and I was driving, and I was at a stoplight, and I was like, how many days has it been since Easter? I'm like, it's Easter Sunday. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's been 40 days. I'm like, today is ascension, the ascension. Like, this is when Jesus ascended into heaven, and he ascended all the way to the right hand of the Father. And that is where he is seated now, interceding for his church. I was totally geeking out. I was in the car and I was like, oh man, that's awesome. So I got into the lunch and I was telling my wife and my kids, and they're like, yeah, great. That's awesome. That's super cool. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I was so inspired. I was like, we got to talk about this. I don't think that we as the church, not just our church, just the church in general, we don't talk about the ascension of Jesus enough. We talk about the resurrection. We don't talk about the ascension enough. And it is key. It is vital to the life of the believer, because how many of you know, if he's not ascended, we don't get ascended, right? Scripture says that we are seated in heavenly places with him. The only reason you get to go there is because he's already there. Okay? So we got to talk about the ascension, and we have to talk about it because the ascension is critical to the person and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So here's what I want to do. Before we start, I want you to write down these scriptures. Yeah, I'm going to have you do some homework this week. I want you to write down these scriptures. You can take notes in your phones. I want you to read these through the week, and we're going to read some of them today. I want you to read through these, pray them, and just allow God's word to get in your heart this week. How many of you know his word is life? I think sometimes people are like, man, how many scriptures do you go through? And I'm like, we go through as much of the word as you will let me go through, because his word is life. His word is bread. Amen. And I want to encourage you that if you are here and you're receiving God's word, you may be like, I don't understand half the things you're saying. That's okay. How many of you know you may not remember what you ate for breakfast 2 days ago, but it did its job, right? You may not remember what I say 2 days later, but guess what? It did its job, okay? His word is food. It is life. It will sustain you to the end. The reason we say we want you to read your Bibles every day, it's not because we want to be a religious people or people that look good or look like a church that has it all together. The reason we tell you to read your Bibles every day is his word is what will sustain you to the end. If you aren't receiving his word and how do you do that? You get in the word. You have quiet times with the Lord. You come to church. If you aren't receiving the Lord, the word of the Lord, you are starving spiritually. If you're starving spiritually, you are on a path to destruction. I was just reading a survival. It's the rule of threes, right? You can go 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air. What was the other one? There's another one. I think it was 3 seconds without the internet. I think that's what it was. Until you die. Like that's basically the rule of threes. Okay. You can only go so long without spiritual food. His word is food. He's the bread of life. Amen. So the reason we get his word in our heart, it is what sustains us to the end. If you want to be more in love with Jesus when you die than when you started, be in his word. And if you don't understand everything, it's okay. It's food. You got me? You don't have to understand everything. Get it in you. All right. So here's the scriptures. I'm sorry. I got distracted. See, it's the coffee. It's the coffee. Okay. Here are the scriptures I want you to write down. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Mark 16, verse 19. I'm reading these as I'm telling you these. These are so good. John 6, 62. It's my favorite. 6, verse 62. John 20, verse 17. Oh my gosh, okay. This one, get this, okay. Jesus is literally, he's mid-ascent. Okay, Jesus descended to the depths of hell. He rose from the dead. He's mid-ascent, and this is how much Jesus loves people. He stopped to talk to Mary on his way. That's how much Jesus loves people. He's on his way up, and he's like, hold on, I can't leave yet. Yes, isn't he good? Isn't he good? Sometimes you can barely get people, especially when they're important people, you can barely get their attention for 5 seconds. How many of you know Jesus always has our attention? Okay. Ephesians 4:10. Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, 1 Timothy 3:16. Hebrews 4:14. And 1 Peter 3:22. We're going to go through some of these. But I want you to read these. Get them in your heart. We're talking about the ascension of Jesus. And I want to start, we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. It's one of the scriptures I gave you. This is the account. I don't think sometimes we recognize this. It says, now when he had spoken these things, when Jesus spoke these things, while they watched, he was taken up. Everybody say, taken up. He literally began to fly, like he was going up into the heavens. And a cloud received him, speaking of the Holy Spirit, out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, you guys fly all the time. We've never seen this, right? Like, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Amen. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? And I got good news for you. You didn't miss it. Okay. I'm like, you know, what is it? How do we know if Jesus came back? Well, it says that he's going to descend into the same place, the Mount of Olives, which is where he ascended. He's going to descend into the same place in like manner. And it says when he descends that the mountain will be broken into two. Well, it's not broken into two. We're good. Okay. So turn to the neighbor, tell him you didn't miss it. You didn't miss it. You're good. But I want you to notice it's scripture says he was taken up. Okay. He was taken up. Listen to Mark 16, 19. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up. Everybody say received up. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Listen to John 6, 61 and 62. This is Jesus speaking. He says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? How many of you know, and I want to pause here, how many of you know a lot of people are okay with the man Jesus? They're okay with the humanity of Jesus. They're not okay with the divinity of Jesus. There's a lot of people that would agree Jesus was a great man. He was sent from God. He was a prophet. But how many of you know the problem happens when people start saying, no, Jesus is God? That's where the offense comes. You know, historically, you cannot deny the existence of the man from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. You cannot deny it. There's overwhelming evidence that Jesus walked this earth, that he taught that he went specific places. You can't deny it historically. People have no problem denying that he existed. They love the man from Galilee who heals the sick. But when he tells people, you know, in order for you to have life, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's why they got offended. They were like, what are you talking about? Jesus said, in order that you would be, if you want to be filled with life, you must eat my flesh. You must drink my blood. That is where it crossed the line. And it says here that many people stopped following Jesus at that time. In fact, they began to leave. They began to walk away. Now, what I love about Jesus is he didn't try to stop anybody. People started leaving and he wasn't like, well, let me give you a disclaimer. I didn't really, you know, you're not eating my actual body, right? Like you're gonna eat. No disclaimers. He didn't try to stop people from leaving. In fact, he looked at his disciples and he said, do you want to leave too? How many of you know Jesus was not performing for people? He was not trying to be this attraction. He was not trying to be a show. How many of you know Jesus isn't looking for fans? He's looking for worshipers. It's not enough just to like the idea of Jesus. It's not enough to just be like, yeah, I like Jesus. You know, I got his name tattooed on my arm. He's not looking for fans. He's looking for people who will worship him, who will recognize who he is. Amen? And so he asks his disciples, he goes, do you want to go too? And Peter looks at him and we love Peter, right? We all love him. What he said was so profound. He looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, we have nowhere else to go. You have the words of life. I guarantee you, Peter did not know what Jesus was talking about when he said that. But what I love, and I think this is a great example for us to follow, is that when you are challenged by the Lord, you don't run, you stay where you are. Allow him to begin to work it out. You might have questions. There might be things that you don't understand about God. There might be things that you don't know or things that you don't recognize, but that doesn't mean give up or quit or run the other way. It means no, stay where you are and let the Lord continue to work in you. I love Peter's answer. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. You have the words of life. In other words, Peter, he didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but that means you can have life in you, but not understand everything. And so if you don't understand everything, that's okay. But here's what my encouragement to you would be. Follow him. Stay with him. Remain with him. Be with him. Why? Because he's life. Amen? Read your Bible. You won't get it all. I talk to people all the time and they're like, I'm reading through it. I'm going through my Bible. I'm reading it every day. I don't get everything. And I'm like, that's okay. The Lord will work with that. You're getting fresh food. Amen? Okay, we talked about that already. So people are much more comfortable with the humanity of Jesus rather than the deity of Jesus, because his deity requires your life as an offering. If you want to follow Jesus, you must give all and follow him. Listen to Ephesians 4:10. Ephesians 4:10, it says, he who descended, now we're talking about the ascension, but listen. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above. Everybody say far above. Far. How many of you know Jesus has ascended far above the heavens? I don't even know where that is, but it's above everything. And how many of you know that posture is power in the Spirit? He has been lifted up to the highest parts above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, if we're going to talk about the ascension, we have to also talk about his descension. When Jesus descended, where did he descend to? Did Jesus descend from the throne of heaven to come our way? Yes, he did. And I want you to think just for a moment what that looked like. Here is Jesus, the one who created all things. He spoke all things, and it was. He is the creator of all things. He was with the Father, the second person of the Godhead, but no less than one another. And here he is
and he comes down to earth, and he doesn't come down in a spectacular fashion. He wasn't after people's awes. He came low. He came down and was born in a manger. Now, we think about a manger, and we have all the scenes of Christmas in our head, right? And we're looking at the manger. We got hot cocoa. We got our designer coat. We got our, you know, our beanie, right? That says John 3:16, right? We got all these things and we're comfy and it's Christmas and we got a carol on. We're singing carols, right? But that's not what the manger was. The manger was a place meant for animals. It was a feeding. It was a trough. It was dirty. It was very humbling. In fact, scripture says that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Those cloths were meant to clean the animals. When Jesus descended from heaven to earth, he came humbly. He came low. And I think when the Holy Spirit, when he reveals to us the full majesty of who Jesus is, have any of you ever experienced that yet? If you haven't, stick with it. You'll see. Where you come into the presence of God and we're lifting up the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden he begins to reveal himself to you. You begin to see him in his glory. You begin to recognize just how wonderful he is, how beautiful he is, how precious he is. And I think when the Holy Spirit gives us that revelation, it should wound us to the core in the most beautiful way, just how the God of the universe left his throne to be born among animals. And it's as though he came, the creator of the animals had come to be born among the animals to redeem mankind. And so when we talk about Jesus descending to the earth, he descended to the earth where he was surrounded. Think about this. He was surrounded by sinners. Okay? He was surrounded by idol worshipers as he carried the cross. He was betrayed by those he loved. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was talked about, lied about. Does anybody ever feel some of these things? Not fully, but some. He was crucified on a sinner's cross. He was all those things. When we talk about him descending, this is a tremendous descent. God of the universe to dying on a cross. It's mind-boggling. The massive descent that would be. Can we all agree? Is this okay? But I want you to recognize he descended even more than this. Listen to 1 Peter 3:18. This is going to blow your mind. You will want to hit your neighbor, but don't hit your neighbor. Okay? We don't hit in church. Okay? Tell the person, we don't hit. Okay. 1 Peter 3:18 says this. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. How many of you know Jesus doesn't need to die again? He's done it. It's finished. He's paid for our sins. It says that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Talk about Noah and the flood and how they were saved because they were righteous. 21 says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. How many of you enjoyed the baptism service a couple weeks ago? Amen. Was that not spectacular? Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Now listen to this. We're talking about how Jesus has ascended to the highest of highs in the heavens. That's where he is right now. But before that, he first descended. He descended to earth. But listen, when he died, where did he go?
Mm-hmm. He wasn't just gone. He wasn't just non-existent. No, he went down to the underworld. And then we see it right here. He went and he preached to the spirits who were in prison, who formerly were disobedient. So Jesus descended into the underworld and he began to declare his triumph. How many of you remember when Jesus was on the cross? He turned to the thief that was next to him, right? And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say heaven. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. At that time, there was a place called paradise, also called Abraham's bosom. And you read about this account in the account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. Maybe you remember when Jesus was talking about it. He said Lazarus was poor. The dogs would lick his wounds. He had nothing, and his life was full of misery. And there was a rich man who would ignore him and just move on. It says the dogs had more compassion on Lazarus than the rich man did because at least the dogs would lick this poor man's wounds, okay? Well, they ultimately both die. And there is this picture, and I believe it's a literal picture because this wasn't a parable, right? This is a literal thing. There is this picture now of both of these men in Abraham's bosom. And on one side is Hades, it is torment, it is fire. And on the other side, it is paradise. And in between is this gulf that could not be passed. I mean, okay. And it got so bad that the rich man said, just put a drop of water on my tongue. And Lazarus was like, I can't do it. I can't cross the gulf. And then he begins to cry out, right? And he says, well, send somebody back and raise them from the dead so that they can at least tell my family so that they can avoid this place. And scripture says, if they don't believe the Old Testament and the scriptures, they won't believe someone being raised from the dead. Okay, are you guys with me? And so there was this place. And so the ones that went to Abraham's bosom, they were on the paradise side, and they were there because they had faith in God's word and in the expectation of the Messiah, right? What does scripture say about Abraham? His faith was accounted as righteousness. There were people who believed in the scriptures. They believed God's word, and there was an expectation that there would be the Messiah that was to come. Right? And so up until that point, you could not go to heaven because Jesus wasn't there. The blood had not been spilled. And so there was this holding place, this place in between called Abraham's bosom. And those who were faithful went to there, and the other ones went to Hades, okay? When Jesus died, not only did Jesus come, descend to earth, and give his life for us, when he died, it says he went down into the underworld world and he began to minister to the spirits that were there. And he set captive free. We open up the scripture that says, lift up the gates, right? Lift up, open up heavenly doors, right? What was that speaking of? That was speaking of Jesus going in and breaking the power of hell so that he could bring them back and be with him up in heaven. Are you guys with me? And so Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, they all saw the day of the Messiah and they rejoiced. And those who believed in him, they went to this paradise. And so when Jesus died, he went even lower than the manger. He went into the depths of the earth. Now think about this. Scripture says this. When he descended into the underworld, when he had died, he descended in. It says that when he descended into the depths, scripture says, if the devil would have known, he would never have done it. In other words, it was like Jesus went into the depths and he goes, oh no, what did I just do? Right? Like the devil tried to swallow up Jesus in the grave, but Jesus swallowed up the grave. Right? It's hell had received the one who had come to destroy it. That is the wisdom of God. And so Jesus descended. He destroyed the power of hell through humility. That's how low he went. Somebody say amen.
And then he began to ascend. He was down for how many days? 3 days. And his ascension began when he was raised to life by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. His resurrection was only the beginning of the ascension. He said, as scripture says, he walked with the disciples and he continued to teach them for 40 days. And then after 40 days, which was this Friday, by the way, 40 days after Resurrection Sunday, he ascends into heaven. And as he ascends, listen, I'm going to say it again because I don't think we all got it. Position in the spirit equals power. Okay? The devil and demons, they do not recognize anything but power and authority. It doesn't matter how much charisma you have. It doesn't matter how good your hair is. It doesn't matter anything. The only thing they recognize is authority. And so here's Jesus. He defeats the power of hell. He sets the captives free. He ascends. He's raised to life. He's with those he loves for 40 days. He begins to ascend and go up, up, up. And as he did, his power and glory became greater and greater and greater. And it's as though as he ascended, his glory would go out and go out and go out and go out all the way until the being seated at the right hand of the Father. And it says he is above all the heavens, which means there is no power, there is no spirit, there is no principality, there is nothing greater than him. Amen. Listen to 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. This is talking about Jesus. Justified in the spirit. Talking about that resurrection. He was justified by the Holy Spirit. He brought him back. He raised him up. He was seen by angels. Jesus had the attention of all of heaven. Preached amongst the Gentiles, this is the Great Commission, and he believed on in the world, received up in glory. And so when Jesus ascended higher than the heavens, think about this, it expressed his complete and total dominance. There is no one greater. There is no one higher. There is no other name that can stand against the name of Jesus. Amen. It expressed his total dominance. And so he is the name above every name for a reason, because that is his position. That is who he is. He is seated on the highest throne. And the further he ascended, the greater the level of glory, until all is filled with the majesty and presence of Jesus. Amen. That's the ascension. Listen. That is the ascension. And so when the Bible says this, think about this now. When the Bible says you are seated with him in heavenly places, does that hit a little bit different now? When you recognize where he is, by the way, did you know that when Jesus ascended, they could see the holes in his hands and in his feet? Did you know Jesus is still in the flesh? He came as a man like you and me. He died as a man. He's been raised as a man. And now he's seated as a man at the right hand of God. Amen. When you have this kind of recognition, if I'm seated with him and he's that high, all of a sudden, you're approaching things a little differently. There's a different confidence, because that means that the things that you're facing, they're nothing but a thing. The insecurities that you have, the fears and the anxieties, right? Maybe the pain or the sickness that is in your body. How many of you know you've been given the name of Jesus, which is the name above every name? And not only have you been given that name, he's put his name on you. You are marked by him. And not only that, guess what? You're seated with him.
Do you see how good of a deal this is? This is what it means that when Jesus came, not only did he descend to earth to die, he descended to the depths of hell to defeat the power of hell. And he set the captives free and he began to ascend to give us life. And not only do we now have life with him, we're seated with him because he's at the highest place. And he brought us back with him. Amen. I don't know if this, I feel like this is good. I'm just going to assume that you all are like, you know, that emoji with the mind blown. I'm going to assume that's what's going on. So how does this fit with the Holy Spirit? Listen to this, John 7:37. This is Jesus. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, I love the passion of Jesus because he was so desperate for people to just know this. He's so desperate for people to know him. He didn't care what it looked like. Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Everybody say rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. So who is the river of living waters? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a river. It fills you. It refreshes you. It takes you where you need to go if you will yield to it. Okay, you got to yield. It is rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. In other words, when you were born again, you received a life-giving river, the Holy Spirit himself. Amen? It says, this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing him in him would receive. Notice, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet. Everybody say yet. The Holy Spirit wasn't given. Why? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is vital. This is vital. I hope you catch this. We have to see, some of you are like, why don't we see the Holy Spirit move more? Are you glorifying the Lord in your life? Are you lifting him up? We have to see the connection between the glorification of Jesus and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Why do you guys talk so much about Jesus? Because he's everything. My wife goes, you mean you're not doing a Mother's Day message? I'm like, I'm absolutely doing a Mother's Day message. I'm talking about Jesus. What did you say though? Because it was really good. She said something to the effect of, you mean you'll love and appreciate me more because of Jesus? I'm like, exactly. We have to see the connection between the glorification of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So people will say, well, how can we flow in the Spirit? How can we see a greater move of the Spirit? You don't see a greater move of the Spirit by putting it in your service schedule. All right, Holy Spirit, move here. You don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not controllable, right? But when do we see the power of the Holy Spirit come? The Holy Spirit will come when I position myself and yield in such a way where if I can just lift Jesus so high and glorify him so much, if I can lift him up even more, then his Holy Spirit comes. The reason why the Holy Spirit often moves in times of worship is why? Because we are lifting him up. We're singing praise. We're giving him glory. We're declaring with our mouth, Jesus, this is who you are, right? We're speaking the truth. And when you do that, when you lift him so high, because he is glorified, he sends his Spirit. Amen? And so there is a forever connection between the glorification of Jesus and the giving of the Holy Spirit. You want to see the Holy Spirit move in your life more? Begin to praise and worship Jesus more. You want to see more power, more demonstrations, more signs, more healings. We don't do it for those things because you can't control him. But it is, he wants to pour it out. He wants to give it. He wants to be that river of life that is pouring out of you and into the lives of others. But it only happens when we glorify Jesus. Somebody say amen. Okay, but here we see John 7. This connection in John chapter 7 is actually speaking about the actual ascension. Jesus had not yet ascended into the highest place of heaven. The glorification of Jesus, this includes the resurrection. It includes the ascension. It includes the enthronement, thank you, of Jesus, okay? John connects the giving of the Spirit to this moment. So was Pentecost, which is 50 days, by the way. Listen, Jesus ascended 40 days. Jesus said, he promised, I'm gonna send my Spirit and he will be a helper, okay? And you will be filled with power. What did the disciples begin to do when Jesus ascended? What did they do? Somebody knows the answer. They began to pray. They began to pray. And they began to pray for 10 days. Pentecost is 50 days after Jesus ascended or was raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Pentecost was the beginning of a new age. Somebody say amen. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's proof of another accomplishment too. It is proof. Listen, the Holy Spirit being poured out is proof that Jesus made it to his destination. The Holy Spirit could not be poured out until Jesus was glorified. Was the Holy Spirit poured out? Somebody say yes. What does that mean? Jesus made it. He is fully glorified. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is pouring out his Spirit to those who would worship and seek him. Amen. And so if he has been given, if the Holy Spirit has been given, Jesus made it. He is the actual king of the kingdom and he is on the throne. How many of you know throughout scripture, and I'm going to close with this, throughout scripture, we see in the Old Testament when kings would be anointed and they would take their place on the throne, the prophet would come and the prophet would anoint them with oil. Oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit in scripture. But the king would come and the prophet would pour out oil on the top of their head to install them, right? What does the Bible teach us about unity? How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It says this, it is like oil dripping down from Aaron's beard. And it ends at the hem of his garment. Aaron was the high priest. Aaron was a type and representation of Jesus Christ. Okay? So when Jesus assumed his place on the throne and the Spirit was poured out, that was the oil going from the head down the garment all the way to the bottom of the hem because we are a part of the body of Christ. Amen? And so what does it say it took place in the upper room? The apostles were praying how? In one accord. What does that mean? They were in unity. There was unity that was taking place and they had come together as the body of Jesus, clothed in robes of righteousness, because how many of you know they were born again? And they were clothed in robes of righteousness. And at some point, after 10 days, just enough time for the oil to go from the head down the beard all the way down the garment to the hem, the oil came to the upper room and they began to burn for him forever. Amen.
They began to speak in other tongues. They began to prophesy. There is a different level of power and greater anointing as the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the Holy Spirit came and instituted a new day where it would not be by might, it would not be by power, but it would be by his Spirit. Listen, the only reason the Holy Spirit comes is because Jesus is glorified. This is how important the ascension is. If Jesus had not been glorified, we would not have the Holy Spirit with us. Amen? Let's stand together. We're going to close. I'm going to pray over you guys. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord? And let's just begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that not only did you descend to die for us, but Lord, you broke the power of hell. You descended to the uttermost depths, and then you have reascended to the highest place in the heavens. And Lord Jesus, because you are glorified, Lord, you have promised to pour out your Spirit. And Jesus, you said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And so, Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we fix our eyes on you, Lord. And as we worship and adore you and we look to you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to fill us afresh with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would fill us to overflowing in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would fill us, Lord, that we can do the things and recognize it's not by what we can do. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. Lord, you are the answer. You are our everything. Lord, you're the key to be having a good marriage. You're the key to being a good mother, a good father. You're the key, Lord, to living out the calls and the plans that you have for us, Lord. Without you, we have nothing. And so, Lord, we ask that you would fill us right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that as you are glorified, Lord, let your name be glorified in this place. Lord, that we would not bow to any other thing but you. Lord, that we would always keep you front and center in our hearts and in our minds, that there would never be any other idol or any other thing that would take your place. No other person, no other hobby, no other distraction. Lord, let us be fully fixed and focused on you in Jesus' name. That you would receive all the glory. Oh, Lord, teach us how to worship you. Many of us have gone through the motions for far too long, thinking we are in worship, but we're just in a stupor. Oh, Lord, teach us to worship you. Give us a heart, Lord, that burns for you, Lord Jesus, to fall in love with you again. Lord, that we would return back to our first love, that we would never lose that affection, Lord Jesus. Lord, you love us so much, Lord, that you gave up all of your divine attributes, all that you had, that you might win us back to you. Lord, may we love you in return. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for a fresh recognition, Lord, that eyes would be open in this place, Lord, that every lie would be broken in Jesus' name, and that we would understand, Lord, who we are because of you. That we are not dead in our sin anymore. That we are not defeated by the power of hell anymore. But that we are seated in heavenly places with you because of you. And Lord, that we would use the name of Jesus, the name that you have freely given to us, Lord, that you would teach us how to use your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's just use it right now. Lord, we come against right now, Lord, depression in Jesus' name. Lord, we come against the name of depression. Jesus, you are the name that is greater than depression. You are the name that is greater than sickness. You are the name that is greater than cancer. Lord, we bind every sickness of the body, every sickness of the mind. We break that in the name of Jesus because your name is the name above all. And so, Lord, we speak the name of Jesus into every body, into every heart, and into every mind right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let your healing come in Jesus' name.
Lord, that you, as we glorify you, Lord, that you would be glorified in this place, that you would be glorified in us and through us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, we said amen. 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 Can we thank the Lord for the word this morning?